mysterious character known as John the Baptist. So many times we gloss over the scriptures about him, but when we stop and contemplate, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We realize there's more to him than meets the eye. Matter of fact, Jesus says that if you're willing to receive this today, he is Elijah. That's what we're looking at here today and tomorrow. Join us. If you'd like a copy of this, you can go and download the WGOD Radio app. You can go to WGODradio.com, download it, email it to me. I'll mail it to you for free, paul@WGODradio.com. Okay, here we go. Part one, John the Baptist. Okay, here we go. Now, if you've heard this before, you're not allowed to answer. But let me ask the question out there. Trivia question. Who is the last Old Testament prophet? Ron, be quiet. Who else can I silence? Darren? Who is the last Old Testament prophet in the Bible? Give it up. You're not listening to R.C. Sproul, are you? The last Old Testament prophet in the Bible. Though whoever said Malachi, I take my hat off to you, you're reading your Bible. It's John the Baptist. We could call this sermon John the Baptist paving the way or introducing the forerunner. Many churches today are preaching the Christmas story, but I want to do something a little bit different here this morning. And come Friday here at 5:30 if you want to hear the Christmas story read. But you see, not all that far down the street from the incredible display the shepherds were privileged to see, not all that far down the street, there was another work going on. God's doing another work on the other side of town. Now, today I want to look at the last Old Testament prophet in the Bible, John the Baptist. Knowing John's work, we ought to call him John the Methodist. I once heard of this little old lady who called her a pastor and complained, and she said, "How dare you call him John the Baptist? There weren't Baptists in the Bible in the first century." No, there weren't. But the Bible calls them that. It's funny, the images we get of this guy. What goes through your mind at the mention of his name? 48 people here. Baptism of, yeah. With me, it's Charlton Heston and repent, right? Old Christmas or Easter movie, Charlton Heston, repent, or you filthy swine. Now, John was one tough hombre. I sure would have loved to play John in the movies. You brood of vipers. That's my kind of guy. Scallywag. No, that would have been Barbossa. But I submit to you that there's more to John the Baptist than meets the eye. Why is he so overlooked? Why does he warrant only the occasional glance? Now, today he's the subject of my sermon, this great John the Baptist. And it's not just me who calls him great. Jesus calls him the greatest. You had to have me wear a Western tie today. This is all your fault. Turn that camera around. Why don't you wear your Western tie, honey? All right, I'll wear it. And what do you get? Huh? Jesus calls him the greatest. So to get started on John the Baptist, we got to go to the very last words spoken in the Old Testament. Turn with me, please. Someone else called it before. The book of Malachi, chapter 4. To the end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Dora, do you need a Bible? Okay, I've got a spare if anyone needs a Bible. Malachi, last book, right before Matthew. Last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 4, verse 4. God speaking. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Now, listen to this promise in verse 5. Notice who he's going to send, and notice what he's going to do. All right? Last promise, Old Testament. Notice who he's going to send, and notice what he's going to do. Verse 5, God says, one of my favorite words in the Bible, behold. I love that word. It means, check this out, Smedley. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn. All right, now comes what he's going to do. First he told you who he's sending. Now he's going to tell you what he's going to do. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. All right, now this prophecy was spoken around 430 BC. Fast forward now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, if you would please. Luke chapter 1. Third book of the New Testament. Now, while you're turning there, before that, look at all this silence we have in the Bible. The Bible says of another time that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Same here, 430 years. Imagine all that silence. Maybe it seems like God hasn't spoken to you in 430 years. Let me encourage you that it's all the same day to him. Might seem like that long to you, but God hasn't forgotten you. I guess my question is, are you going to where he's speaking? If God's been silent in your life, you got to go to where he's speaking. He hasn't forgotten you, and he hasn't forgotten his plan either. Remember his plan. Last recorded words I just read to you. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Remember that. Fast forward 430 years, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar. Notice how exact Luke is in describing this. He's telling you what side of the altar he's standing on. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will call his name John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But did you catch that? That's the same thing he said to Malachi 430 years earlier. And why wouldn't he? It's all the same day to God. It's all the same day. You see, in the fullness of time, God will reveal his plan and act on it and accomplish his will. So let me ask the question, are you in a quiet time right now? Does it seem that God is giving you the silent treatment right now? Because of sin, perhaps. Disobedience, perhaps. Maybe through no fault of your own. I want to encourage you. It's all the same day to God. And he hasn't forgotten about you. It's all the same day to him. See, God silences. Sometimes they're deafening. But there's always a purpose behind them. Always. If God is silent in your life today, and it's because of something that you have done, make it right. Make it right here today. Maybe God's waiting on you to do something. Make this the greatest Christmas you've ever had by making things right with God this morning. It's all the same day to him. No sweat off of his back. Since the last time perhaps God instructed you to do something and you didn't do it, and then all of a sudden the line went dead on the other end, it's all the same day to him. Perhaps he's waiting on you to do something. Maybe he's already instructed you to do something, and you haven't done it yet. It's all the same day to him. And like Jonah, he'll pick it up right where he left off. Let me make sure we got this before I move on. His last words in the Old Testament was, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Fast forward 430 years to John the Baptist's father. And he says, when your son comes, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. It's the same thing. 430 years later, God said the same thing as the last thing he said in the Old Testament. And it's all the same day to him. God didn't miss a beat. And he won't with you either. It's the same day to him. I got this crazy harebrained notion when I forget to pray for someone, I pray about it the day after. Because I believe that he can transcend time, and he does. And I can miss something and pray about it a day later, and he can still answer that prayer over here. Because it's the same day to him. It's the same day. As we're going to find out from this sermon, God is supernatural. So don't put him in your box for what he can do. Now, after the birth of John, the Bible tells us this. Luke chapter 1, verse 80, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Okay, no shaking hands with a dead fish with this dude. So during this time, man of God's in the deserts, a relative unknown, whose food, the Bible tells us, was locusts. Boy, you thought broccoli was bad? This man ate locusts and honey that wasn't grown in his county. Pretty good case, huh? John the Baptist. Now, and he's biding his time, you see. He's waiting in the wilderness over here. Unknown. No one knows him. No one's heard of him other than his mama. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And in the meantime, not many miles from there, perhaps right down the street in some deserted highway. You see, there's another event taking place right down the street.
And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Praise God. Thank you. Who didn't think I wasn't going to get the Christmas story in this message? All this while the quiet man bides his time in the desert, waiting, waiting. Now, all of a sudden, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the... Notice... See, Jim's a duck hunter here. Notice all these ducks that are in a row. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, in bronchitis, Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas are high priests, then the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You see, once everything was in place, then the word of God came to him. Come to think of it, it's the same thing with you, too. It's the same thing. So your life is a perfect parallel with his. Maybe God's waiting for a few more governors in your life. Maybe he's waiting to dot an I over here and cross a T over there. And then all of a sudden, wham, the word of God comes to you too. Do you find yourself waiting in the wilderness right now? Waiting on God. All of a sudden, the answer to that prayer comes. Maybe your marching orders. You see, it may seem that way, but God hasn't forgotten you. You see, all of your ducks, they're just not in a row yet. Remember that movie, Field of Dreams? He said to him, he said, "Build it, and he will come." Now, back to John. I believe there's more to this man than meets the eye. And the Apostle John here, in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John here in chapter 1 is going to introduce us, his own way, to John the Baptist. And he's going to inform us as to this fascinating origins of this mysterious man. We're in John chapter 1. Listen closely to this. I'm in John chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 6. Only one verse. John chapter 1, verse 6. Or listen to what I say here as I read this to you. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Seems like no biggie on the surface, but let's dig a little deeper and let's slow down reading this. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Let me change the wording some to help you grasp what he's saying here. There was a man sent from the police station whose name was Officer Rick. Let me try that again. There was a man sent from the police station. You know, Gene had to call the police this week because of our donut king out here in the parking lot who wants to see how many donuts he can do before he dies or gets struck by a bolt of lightning. There was a man sent from the police station whose name was Officer Rick. Or how about this? There was a woman sent from the adoption agency, and her name was Betty. I can see 48 light bulbs now. There's more to this man than meets the eye. I know what you're thinking. Maybe that's supernatural. Hello, let's make it worse. The Greek word translated from is the Greek word para, which means alongside of. Here's that word in action. Let me give you a few words with para in it. Help you understand this. Paralegal. Parallel. I'm selling an iPhone commercial. Paramedic. Paranoia. Paraphrase. Parapsychology. Paradox, parable, it's the Greek word parabole, paramilitary, parasailing, paranormal, paratrooper. And now hear what the word of God says, there was a man sent paratheu. Think about that. There was a man sent from alongside of God whose name was John. Could that possibly mean what it says? You bet your sweet bippy it means exactly what it says. And that is, John is supernatural.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Oh,